Brother Freedom and I just want to thank you for joining us today. We know you're there. Time and distance are not a problem for the Lord. We're just glad and we're thankful mostly for the Holy Spirit because He's the one that helps us. He's the one that's going to help Brother Freedom in just a few moments. And we're just trusting and believing our God that He's going to pour a message through Brother Freedom that will touch your heart to help you because we want to see you helped. We want to meet you in glory. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. I'm so glad, Lord, that you got me here on time. I finished that work that I had to do and got here to the house. Lord, we dedicate this house to you, this living room to you. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Freedom. We thank you, Lord, for anointing him. We thank you for the listeners. Lord, touch them, heal them, deliver them for your glory. We want you, Father, to get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I just give you praise. I give you glory and honor, and I thank you for all what you're doing. I thank you for your great and mighty blessings, your great touches of people that you touch us all continually. You move upon us with your mighty hand, and we cannot see the picture ourselves many times. But Father, that picture is you. You place us out of harm's way. You shield us. You protect us. You guide us. You direct us. Lord, you uplift us. You encourage us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're to move upon us in a mighty way. Lord, I thank you for the special gift of your special Son, that wonderful Son of, oh, we just love you, Jesus. We praise you for what you've done. Went on that cruel cross, painful, and that was a means that you might have that power. We know that what you went through was really, it was terrible. But that cross uplifted you and brought that into a place that we can have eternal life. We can have eternal promises. We can have eternal blessing. We can have eternal insight. We can have happiness. We can have joy. We can have peace. We can have contentment. All the good things that come from you this day, Father. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that Jesus said, it's needful that I go away. For I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send the Comforter. And he will reprove the world of sin and lift up the wonderful name of Jesus. We thank you that he knows all things, is all things. And Father, you give him all power for this day that we live in. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you for these tools of ministries. They are tools for our helping. They're to make us complete in you this day. And we thank you for this wonderful blessing. We thank you for your great love. We thank you for your great peace. We thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I was just thinking today that really it's been in my heart. The Bible says in St. John 14 and 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. But I thought a lot about this. The Spirit of God was helping me and very helped me to think about these wonderful things. But Jesus is making a statement there. If we really love him, we're to keep his commandments. You know, the Lord was showing me that so many of our, what we have in our vision, when we come to Jesus, that we're going to be, I remember a young fellow back years ago in a certain church I was at. Boy, he always promised everybody that he was going to be the greatest, 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 greatest Christian ever was. He was going to put everyone to shame. He was going to really do that. And that's what a lot of times we think in our own heart. But when we start facing things ourselves, we find out it's not as easy as it looks like. You know, we think that we can just turn ourselves upside down and we're going to be a supernatural, on fire Christian and we're going to not have no problems. We're going to be able to pray for people. But we don't know these things because it's done in the Spirit. We don't do this framework in our own intentions, our own commands, making like drawing a picture. We can't draw the picture. We can't draw the picture on how to get to Jesus. He does it as we walk through into him. And if we love him, we are basically going to love people. You know, we go downtown, we see a young lady walking across the road, and us men, sometimes we look where we shouldn't look. We're going to say, I love you, Jesus, and stop looking. When we get angry, we're going to stop being angry. We'll say, thank you, Jesus. When you're bringing envy and strife, all those things, you say, Lord, I love you. It gets rid of the anger. It gets rid of the jealousy. Actually, basically, that's what we do. We change because we take that attention that we had on the priority of this evil thought, and that becomes a priority And when we get that in our mind, we got to be so connected to Jesus that, Lord, I realize that. It only takes a split second, but in that split second time, I renounce that, and I love you, Jesus. And when you say, I love you, Jesus, that thought of that bad thought, that is basically fleets from your mind. It's like a cleansing, because I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. We're made as human beings only, and we do one thing at a time. Now, women may be able to do it, but us men, basically, we're one person at a time. We can only take one step at a time, and we're not as, I've heard a woman pastor say, well, you know, women are way head and shoulders higher than men because they can think about this and that, but the Bible tells me we're to be in singular and mind. We're in one mind. We're to be singular and loving the Lord. So I believe that behooves me, and that's good enough for me, that I need to keep my mind on the Lord. I can't do it. I can't call the kids in and pray at the same time. I can't cook the dinner and basically, I can to some degree, but that's not in full. For I put all of my attention to the Lord, I've got to put it all on Him. And that's what we need to do. But it's really something that when Jesus said, He says, I'm going away, in this 14th chapter of St. John, the very next scripture that He speaks about, this is the very next, and I didn't think about this till here recently. I went over this, that's how our minds are. We go over things and we don't see things. But it came so vividly to my heart. And the very next thing that Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. And that's the description that He's showing them and showing us now, until we receive it. We don't really know what it is, but we know it's very powerful, because Jesus wants us to be able to love Him with keep His commandments. The Bible says His commandments are not grievous. In Galatians, it says that we're to walk in the love of God as a seed. It's like a part of us. It becomes a strength within us. We are full of hatred, malice, all these things are our old nature. And God wants us to really to take on His nature. And when we accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, there is a grafting in of the nature of God. And if we take that nature of God, it becomes part of us. It becomes part of the Lord's handiwork that we realize that we're not made of flesh and blood so much as the Spirit. Because our old man is the nature of the old world. What I'm saying, the old world, this world, when Satan came to Adam and Eve at that time, he deceived all mankind through the deceiving of Adam and Eve. And we have that nature within us. And that renewing of our mind that we might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. See, we're under the law when we're doing it. And the way that we basically do it. And this morning, the Lord gave me a really, I was just very clear that our churches are living under the law. They're living, you put it right where it's at. They're thinking things through. They're trying to get programs to help them to come against these powers of darkness and these things that take away our thoughts from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they're doing a good work in giving us things to benefit us. But it's not what God wants. He wants us to be led by the Spirit. You know, I believe that it said the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another. So they cannot do the things that you would. You cannot do the things. So when you go to church, and you've committed your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you claim, but then there comes a time, basically most all churches I've been to, I was thinking about this morning, I knew this pastor, and he really had an anger problem. One time he was angry at church, so I went to him between Sunday school and church and said, Pastor, could I pray with you? And then he really got angry. He says, I don't need you or no one else to come and tell me how. But he was a pastor of a church, but yet even himself, he was doing what we're not supposed to. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we, before we can be a preacher or anything, or a minister, or just a layman that loves the Lord and have any insight on God or any purpose in God, any power of God, any witness of God, we've got to get these things straightened out. The lust against the flesh. Spirit against spirit. So we're more than conquerors through the one that loves us. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. It's the bottom line. If we love him, he don't have to tell us. We're going to just love the Lord. We're just going to want to serve him. Because there's something, it's the spirit, and it's just not right. I can tell when a person gets in the room and he's not the same spirit. And I've been around churches, and I'll tell you, even the pastors don't like some of us spirit-filled people. I've seen it. They pull me out in a minute. And this same pastor that I'm describing there, he told me, he said he didn't want me to go pray with him. And here my family and that was going to this church. And I tell you, this was very awkward in those days because God was moving in my heart in a very special way. And it was against everything the Lord was telling me. It was everything the Word tells. But you know, the churches are so determined just because he told me, because he was the head of that church, we're to listen to him or we're all in rebellion. Well, you know, that's a lie, because you have to be against the things of God to be in rebellion. So if you're upholding the things of God, and the minister, whoever it is, or I don't care who it is, says that you're not upholding the things of God, then we need to flee from them, from that advice. Not fleeing from maybe that denomination, but that pastor, or whoever that is, that happens anywhere, if he's in that kind of condition and won't reform to the things of God, or I won't reform the things of God, I need to be put out and chastised and put off from the body of Christ until I learn to be able to seek the things of God by the Spirit of God. But we have blessings upon him. We have an arbitration. Oh, we say, oh, you know, he means well. But I remember he got angry. He fought this fight. Later he got in fights with the police department. And these are all things that catch up to you. But yet he could preach a beautiful message. Beautiful, but you have no spirit. I'll tell you, some of these people can really preach good, beautiful messages. But there's no spirit. There's problems that you start seeking out the Spirit of God. It's not there. That's why we need the advice of God the Father. HaKamashina, the glory. You may go into a church or somewhere. I'm not putting my finger on anybody. But there is lots of places that are not led by the Spirit of God. I really know a very few. They claim it. But then it says they turn away from the power thereof. Then the Bible says from such turn away from. But Jesus said all the time, if you love me, keep my commandments. How can we do it unless we're led by the Spirit? You tell me, it's going to be pretty hard, because you have to be a very, God had to make you a saint before you come to him to do it. And that's not what happens to all of us. We've all fallen short. We've all come short. We've all failed God. We make the Bible untrue. Because all have failed. All have forsaken the way. All needed that engrafted love of God that changes any man being Christ. He is a new creation. He is a new creature. He is a new power. Before we were a mess. We're still a mess until we get God come down to be the priority of our life. He needs to take total priority of the dispensation of this Bible. We make mistakes, but yet where God can help us. God can save us. God can help equip us. God can make us where we're forgivable. He can put us in a place that we can ask forgiveness every day of our life, and we can be in right standing, because every day Jesus realized we're made of clay. But we need to get in the right process. We need to realize that we can't say, I know we can't say that black is white any longer. We've got to be whatever color it is. We've got to observe it as that and go forth it in that direction, in that vision. And we're losing sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when we need that power. We need that anointing. We need that saving power. We need that grace. We need the power of God that brings forth blessings. That brings forth blessing every day of our life. It says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. It sees him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come in to you. And these things I have spoken to you that ye might be present with me. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He puts you in the place that when you start having troubles in these areas, you say, Lord, I love you. And that lustful spirit goes away. Lord, I love you for your constant eye. That envy, that strife leaves you. There's something about the Spirit of God that's mighty. And that Holy Spirit is so wonderful that God helps to walk through life, all the storms of life, by His power, by His blessing. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it says, I will say, Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him my trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and under His wings shall thou trust. We need that power, that blessing, that we can be, keep the strength of God. We can have a vision that, Lord, I can say, I love you. If you love me, keep my commandments. If we love the Lord, the Bible says He will keep in perfect peace His mind stayed on thee because we trust in thee. That's what I'm trying, the point we need to get to. If you're not out here in the basic of what we're letting this happen, you can't keep your mind stayed on the things of God. And if you keep your mind stayed on the things of God, God says He will keep it in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because we trust in thee, which shows us a valid reason to go on and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for everlasting love. I thank you for your everlasting peace. I thank you for that joy unspeakable, that full of glory that's able to uplift us, to encourage us. And we can walk having victory. We can walk walking in God's blessing. We can walk determined to live for the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart. The more we pray for the sick, we know they shall recover. And we can have a love within our heart. We need that love, that joy, that peace that's so wonderful. We need the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness. We need these in our hearts in a very special way. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifested on these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revivings, are such as those would tell you before, as have told you in the past. They that which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't care if you can go out there and make all these kinds of laws up. God says they have to be forgiven. You have to have cleansing. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see or please God. What it means, God will not allow anything unholy into heaven. There's a way that seems right in the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Seek ye first His kingdom, and all these things shall be added. It says, call on me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God has given us a supernatural blessing to help us, but let's don't go back and try to bring something out. It's not there. When there's no peace, we can't say there's peace. When you don't feel love, just say, well, I don't feel no love. You've got to say, believe what it is right. Because if we abide in the Word, we have to abide in God's truth. The truth shall set us free. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, patience. Against there is no law. There's no law what God has given us. God's given us an eternal blessing. Will help us, this world we're living in. In time, I know there's troubles everywhere we go. But we need to realize that God has a encouragement for us. He wants to encourage us daily. He wants to uplift us. He wants to touch us in a mighty way. And it says, peace be multiplied through the knowledge of our Lord God and Father, Lord Jesus, according of His divine power, have given all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called you into glory and virtue. The one that has called us in the glory and virtue, whereby has given us great and precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. We're given us the power to be able to come through this, given us that we might be partakers of the divine nature, that we can take on God's nature, be His child. Then we don't have to, then we can say truly, Lord, I love you. We'll be able to have that what God would want. We respond back. He says, you love me, keep my commandments. Says, Lord, I love you. I'm so thankful for what you did for you. He says, lovest thou me more than these things? You say, yes, I do. And he'll say, yes, I know, my child. We need the influence of the Holy Spirit continually. God can change directions. It's not the same. What happened in 1900 is not a work right now. God don't change, but things change. So he has to change us to cope what has changed. God never changed. No, he doesn't. But things change. Men have changed. Men have polluted God's gospel. So God now has to come back and make over the mess that has been messed on. And God's here to uplift us. Whereby give us great and precious promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature, have escaped the corruption. This is a great thing. Have escaped that corruption that is in this world. The Bible says, love not the world. In the world, any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world passed away, the lust thereof, but he who knew the will of God abideth forever. The world is going about, but we, just because one time God says something, he's moving through that. It's because, you know, he doesn't change, but we have changed. So with that, God has to bring amendments. He has to say, this thing didn't work then, it's going to work now because I allowed this in the past, but I'm not going to allow it from now on. I'm going to allow all the Holy Ghost to move mightily, and that's the only way I'm going to do, because my coming is so short. I cannot be lax. It can't be lax like it was for so many years. Your people need to be ready right now. It's not like it was 100 years ago. You had 100 years of time. The youth might have thought Jesus was coming, but he wasn't right up to the time. He's coming soon now. It says this generation shall not pass away till all these things shall be fulfilled. So Jesus is going to update these things. He's going to bring power. And how he does it is through the influence of the Holy Ghost. It's the influence of the power of God that cares to enable us to walk upright. These people that have gets down in the rut, and that rut stays in the rut, and they say this is the only way it's going to be, they're missing the mark, because God wants us to make up those ruts smooth. He wants to live over those things. He wants to uplift those things. He wants to encourage us today. We can walk as a shining vessel of praise. One, there's a bottom line upon everything, that you let your light still shine. And when you find out here that our churches are getting down, lax in the things spiritually, we understand that's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. So when you start having trouble with lust, you look at what's happened in churches. They started out a few years ago. When I was a little boy, most any church in town, you would not sanction divorce. It would not sanction divorce. I'm just saying, for the church that I live in, just a normal Christian church, it would not sanction no. If you could come there, but you was not in no office. We change ourselves so much that God's coming down here to reset the patterns again and get everything straight, to have this thing work off as a call from heaven, because it's coming soon. And he wants those to be determined this way, that they're not going to miss the mark no longer. But we have missed the mark. We have missed it. We have missed the way. I see right now, I heard it the other day on TV. Well, you know, you men out there, we're going to pray for the men, because the men have went so terribly wrong. Well, I'll tell you what. Yes, we have, because we give it over to women, and they have a strong influence. I'm not against them. I love my wife. I've seen some good women preachers, but I believe that the council around it should be man-devised. It's ordered by God, and he gives us a blessing by doing it, because, you know, us men, all can come down that one way. We can only do one thing at a time, and that's why it needs to be in men. Women can do three or four things at one time, take care of the children, and get the Sunday school lesson, go down and get the sermon for, and they can do all these things that they tell me they can do. Well, I believe that's why. Because the Bible says not to be in two, we need to be in one. We can't be double-minded. And that's being double-minded to me. And that's where I believe that the singular is what God wants for the people of God. And I believe that God wants men to shine forth as vessels of praise. Yes, your wife can be with you, but not to the place that she's telling you what to do, where to go, what to say, because I believe that is out of kilter. I lived through that myself, and I don't believe it's from God to let those things manage no longer. God never changes. Why would Paul put them in? It was good then, it's good today. It's better today because those kings have changed, but we need those. I know churches have changed totally, and they're all out for doing for money. They're all out because it's a vocation. It's their livelihood. And you don't want to say too much because then you be offering praise getting diminished, and you can't know where the last pennies come from. But we need to realize that Jesus is coming to sin. And we've got these problems. Out there, you ladies, I love you. But what I'm trying to say, we need to get things back to God. We need to start off anew. We need to have the mothers of Israel, the mothers that taught the daughters. You women had a wonderful job just to teach your children the love of God. And men, you've had a time that you should shame on us, that we should have been teaching and doing the will of God. We've slept off and we've forgotten how to pray. We've forgotten how to read the Word of God. We have forgotten how to have power in the Holy Ghost. We've forgotten these things and we let them slide by and we've lost them. And we need now to have a new encounter. We need to have a new revival. Revival in God. Revival that the Holy Ghost comes back alive and real. That we might be suited up for righteousness by the Spirit of God and true holiness and true witness and true calling and new the makeup of God be real within us forevermore. I pray that God will bless you in a mighty way. And I love every one of you out there. I'm not against no one. But I am believing that God showed me that we need to get back and stand on the Word of God that He might prosper us. God has not changed. Things have changed. And I've got that message I know a couple times. These things have changed. God's got to straighten this mess out. You've got whole denominations on things that are not really qualifications. God wants to qualify by His Spirit. We want to qualify us in Him that we might be above reproach, that we can be of honor, that we can no longer squander that name of Jesus. We have torqued down that brought that name of Jesus down to a place that there is no more place of repentance. He has brought him down to a place of open shame. And shame on us for doing that. I pray that God will forgive us, bless us, give us time to make over this mess, straighten us out by the will of God forever. We thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Love you people. I pray that there will be some out there that will still love us. We love you in a mighty way. We thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.